Can the meeting come to order now? Thank you all for coming again to this meeting, important meeting of the TAC. And so we'll start off with a roll call. Rob Miller.
Here.
John Brady.
Here.
John Fouché.
Here.
Bob Simonson.
Here.
Russell Westman.
Here.
Dan Berman.
Here.
Maria Kelly.
Here.
Marshall Ohilski, I believe, may not be able to make it tonight. George Call is on vacation. James Furman. Rob Scheip. Karen Venditti. Okay. We have a quorum. With that, I'd like to call the meeting to order, and we'll start off with the first item on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes of the last two meetings. I hope everyone in on the TAC had a chance to look at those agenda, and those of you in the audience, it was on the website also. And so any comments from any TAC members on the agenda? Let's take them one at a time. Let's take the agenda for the week of June 11th. Do I have any additions, omissions? Hearing none, we'll go to the Monday, June 18th meeting. Do I hear any omissions or corrections?
I have a question, but there's a lot of things to say attached.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of things to say attached.
Back to the TAC, and I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes of the two meetings. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do I have a second? Seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Okay. Just, excuse me, Mr. Chair, just for the record, I had to abstain because I was absent from the week of the 11th, so I did not want to approve those.
So noted, if we can correct that, okay.
Similar here for June 18th.
Okay. I think we have who was in attendance at the meetings in the minutes also. Tonight's meeting will be discussing the pros and cons of the two wastewater collection system alternatives as presented to us by the county project team and the variable project alternatives fine screening analysis. I fully realize that this component of the wastewater project stirs strong feelings in the community with passionate backers for each of the alternatives. I ask, however, that during this meeting you at least temporarily put aside those feelings and listen carefully to our discussions. Please refrain from shouting out comments or otherwise disturbing the TAC or those around you while we're discussing the pros and cons amongst our committee. You will have an opportunity to express yourself during our public input period. We again take public comments and questions after the three committees have presented their draft of the pro-cons and before the TAC begins its discussion, same as we did last week. although we don't have that large of a turnout here yet, people do turn up, so I do expect many to want to exercise their right to speak, and I will try to accommodate as many as possible within the allocated time. I would ask you to try to be brief and to the point, and if your views have already been expressed by a previous speaker, simply acknowledging that would be appreciated. Only comments and questions pertaining to the alternate collection system will be allowed at that time. If you have any other comments or questions relating to the TAC and its role, there is a second public input period on the agenda. Questions to the project team will be answered as time permits at the end of the meeting. And please be sure to fill out the public input slips, which are back there on the table. And they're a little bit different this week. It's asking for only one item per slip. So if you want more than one, please fill out two slips. It's our hope that those people at home who are watching and listening into our deliberations of the pros and cons will gain a better understanding of the alternate collection systems and of the potential solutions to the Los Osos wastewater situation. And you may follow the progress of our PROCON analysis by visiting our website, www.slocounty.ca.gov/PW/LOWWP, hard thing to remember. Select the TAC page and then the link to the working draft PRO-CON analysis on project alternatives. This report has been updated to include information from last week's meeting. And we encourage you to send us any of your questions or comments on this report. And our email, we received many people who would like to follow along, so we're going to bring the reports up on the screen there so you'll be able to follow along what the reports are on. So engineering report. Oh, wait, I made a mistake. We want to first put up a little overview. So we're going to have Rob Miller. If you can put the slide up with the overview. Sorry, Russell. just testing you.
Can I go up?
No, not yet, not yet. I'll wait till she...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry about that, Russell.
What did he get up on this?
Okay, Diana, just flag me when you've got it ready. Go ahead and advance to the next one.
Okay.
The topic of collection system methodology is obviously complete with a lot of technical detail, so I'm not going to do justice to a lot of the details, but I wanted to give the community an overview of the two technologies so that at least you can be familiar with some of the terms as we're discussing the project. On the right side of the screen, you have a schematic of what's involved in what we call a gravity collection system. Now, this is a system that essentially takes the wastewater from the pipe that leaves your house and allows gravity to convey that waste by having a continuous downward slope to the pipe to a centralized collection point. Some of the defining characteristics of a gravity system are that the solids that come along with the normal wastewater flow actually go down the pipe. Everything that you flush will go down the pipe and will fall into some larger diameter pipes that are buried under the street, usually an 8-inch minimum diameter. And every so often, those pipes in the streets have these access points that we call manholes or concrete shafts that come up to the surface, and somebody can lift the lid and access this pipe because frequent cleaning is one of the requirements for a gravity system. You have to be able to get solids and clogs out of the system from time to time, so we need access for cleaning with these manholes. Because the community has undulating terrain, ups and downs, you have to have at low points in the community what we call pump stations or lift stations, and these have publicly owned pumps, usually two pumps. The waste is collected in a centralized point, and the pumps then lift that waste into another pipe that flows by pressure from the pumps up to another high point where it can then flow by gravity to the treatment plant. If we're looking at treatment plants that are out of town to the east of town, all of the waste would flow to a centralized collection point such as the Tri-W property here and whatever pump station. If you had a septic tank that was in the back of your lot, the backyard, and the backyard was also fairly low relative to the street, you may need an individual pump called a grinder pump to lift that waste up to the street and then again let it flow by gravity. And that's depicted in the bottom right-hand corner there on the screen. There was about 150 folks who needed those in the previous design. So that's gravity collection in a nutshell. Step collection is a different technology for collection. And instead of conveying all of the solid materials, you basically have a septic tank, usually in the order of 1,500 gallons, in the front yard. And that septic tank would settle out or float all of the solids that can either settle or float. And the clear liquid that would be remaining after that process would go to a pump system that would be inside the tank, usually a single pump on each private lot. And that pump would convey only the liquid into a different style of collection system. So into the septic tank, into it's a plastic vault, and then into a pump that would then pressurize that liquid wastewater, and that would flow into smaller diameter pipes in the street. So in contrast with a gravity system, which has 8-inch pipes with intermittent manholes for access, you'd have a closed system that's under pressure, usually smaller pipes, 3-inch pipes, a large number of 3-inch pipes, and then 4 and on up, that would convey wastewater under pressure without the solids. It's very similar to a water system in reverse in many ways. So instead of a 4-inch line running from your house, it'd be maybe an inch, inch and a half, inch and a quarter line running to the street, and then small diameter lines conveying only the liquids out to the treatment plant. In a STEP system, by the way, STEP stands for septic tank effluent pump, effluent being the clear liquid, and again, the pump is each individual tank. The main difference is you will not have community pump stations because everybody would have a pump that has enough pressure in order to convey the liquids all the way to the treatment plant, even if the treatment plant was located to the east of town. A few other notes here. The tanks that would be used for the STEP system would generally be new tanks. This is a source of some controversy, which I'm sure you'll hear tonight. But most experts, such as Dr. Shabanaglas, recommend essentially new tanks for the construction of a STEP system in order to limit the amount of potential stormwater that would flow in or percolated groundwater that would flow into the system. In terms of the treatment plant, tonight we're talking about the collection system, but you'll hear maybe on the periphery some treatment plant issues because there's some of the groups might get there. One of the big questions in my final comment is that why has the county been describing this alternative project delivery method where instead of making a choice today, we actually let STEP and gravity fight it out to the bitter end, so to speak, and go all the way potentially out to competitive contractor bids, maybe a design build bid, to get real numbers? And I think the answer to that is STEP system and gravity systems have been a source of controversy for many years in Los Osos, and a lot of that controversy centers around the estimates. You know, an engineer does estimates, they put contingencies on, everyone looks at the numbers, there's a lot of controversy associated with those estimates, and I think the county's potential methodology is to take these all the way to bid so you get real numbers and we don't have to be concerned that the estimates were skewed one way or another before a final technology is selected. So that's something that the county's been talking about in their project approach. So with that, I think that'll kick us off.
Thank you very much, Rob. I think that was informative to everyone, and hopefully the folks watching this on TV have a better idea. And now, Russell, I'm sorry to interrupt you before. You can go ahead now.
Can you hear me all right? Fine. I'm the selected representative of the reluctant selected representative of the engineering group, and I'm aware of the controversy in the background of this aspect of the project. I want to let you know that our committee took this quite seriously. We had a devoted one of our longer meetings to this when we're dealing with the rough screening report, and we spent two meetings looking at it now. One of them with Rob Miller, where he picked his brain as best we could, but he was able to walk out of the room just fine and drive away. We've also done a good deal of due diligence. We've been in touch with the contractors, pipe manufacturers, and have also done a survey of managers for STEP systems. Also, we've integrated our varied backgrounds. And so I'm going to take a few minutes today to not only talk about and read to you the pros and cons in terms of our statements, but also give you the background of what our thinking is. This morning when I was reflecting on having to talk today, and I thought of the controversy I've heard over the years as I watched this on TV. But I was looking at our conclusions, and I was struck by the similarities between the two systems, something we don't often look at. So let me start off with that in an effort to get a friendlier audience so I can get out of here alive, and then we'll get into the other stuff in a few minutes. But first thing, in comparing these two systems, it turns out they do the same thing. They take the effluent or the wastewater from your house, and they deliver it to the treatment plant. And to make it...
That is 18 inches. I do this all the time. That is 18 inches.
So, there's not a big difference in size. This is not a matter of a 36-inch concrete pipe versus a 4-inch plastic pipe. None of that, they're the same materials. They'll either be PVC or a high-density polyethylene. And we'll talk about the longevity of those pipes. So, they're underground, the same material, and doing about the same thing. One's being transferred via gravity, the other being initially by pumps out of your house, and they go off to lift stations. There's more lift stations in the case of the gravity system. There's fewer lift stations in the case of the STEP system. They both have odor issues, which are managed. They both have an environmental impact, some one greater, the other less. There's other similarities, and I can go on and on. Reliability, for example. They both have need to be managed. They have to be maintained, and one costs a little more and the other costs a little less. The point is that they both have an established history, and they both, when you do the right things, will work okay. So this is not a question of disaster versus something else. When they're set up right, you put in the right O&M into this, you're going to have success either way. So now we got this narrowed down to issues of economics and our personal decisions as to how we feel about the environment as well as what's going on around our house. And that's what we'll be talking about as well. Let me go to the first slide, for lack of a better word, which we don't have yet. Send that for me. These are the criteria we set at the end of the rough screening report. Yes, we have all of them here. The actual criteria we're going to use now are a little different, and we've massaged them a little bit, which we, now that we've looked at this in more detail. But let me take the issue of design life, and which is right here. I think many of you are aware of that the collection system in a sewer lasts a long time. I'm not talking about 20 years. I'm not talking about 30 years. The old-fashioned sewers made out of clay or concrete are still alive after 75 years. I had 22-year experience with a sewer system in West Los Angeles. It was built in the early 1920s. That was over 50 years ago, and it's still going along fine. Long life. It's in this case, this system we put in will, either one, is going to last 50, probably 75 or more years. Technology will change, but the collection system is going to last a long time. The plastic pipe that goes in here does not corrode, it does not erode, it is an inert material, and it will not become brittle, it will not get weaker. All the tests that people have done in these things over a period of time has shown that it's basically an inert material that does not change its properties. So once it's in the ground, you can count on it for a long time. Of now dollars, and that will be the labor to maintain the plant, the maintenance issues, a fund you will set up, an operating reserve, so you can buy pumps and other things that you need down the road. And that is worked out for each of these. And we'll be talking about that. I think now we can go to the, yes. Well, we'll slide up and down. We're starting off with a step system, and I'm going to say a lot about the step system. And as I say the pros and cons of the step system, that'll give you also a feeling for what goes on as far as the gravity system is concerned. You see life cycle costs up here, which we've broken down to construction costs and O&M costs. And we have some rather benign statements here, lower construction costs for STEP, which you're familiar with, and also a higher operation and maintenance costs as a con. Now let's give some numbers to what those are. And I want to take the time to describe where those numbers came from so you have some confidence in them. Those are questions that we've asked on our committee. First off, the construction costs. The construction costs are guessed, estimated. $65 million is the low end, and the high end is $81 million. $65 million is based on the following thing. I took the Ripley report, worked out the lot costs, worked out and verified the electrical issues, so you had electricity to make this thing work on your site, and also included the transport of the water out to the treatment plant. So that is basically a Ripley number. The other number is 30% more on the piping system. Now you might wonder, why in the world do we have a 30% contingency factor? Well, the Ripley report is not based on a final design. It's based on a preliminary design, something in the order of 10 to 15%. I'm not saying there's something wrong with the Ripley report, that's not the thing. It's just, even Mr. Ripley would probably say, you had to be careful in using those numbers because it's not the final design. So therefore, when you look at how this thing might actually come out, which will be eventually based on a final design, it's natural to have a large contingency factor. And the 30% is the number that was used. I hope we wouldn't, should we choose a step, I hope we wouldn't end up with 30% more. But that is a number that I think brackets the actual cost. I may mention the other two numbers while we're here for purposes of comparison. Your gravity system has been priced out at numbers $80 million for the gravity system, and a number above that, which would be a 10% contingency, is $90 million. Where did the $80 million come from? All right. That's based on the bid price of the original project, but altered in the following ways. It includes the transport of water out to the cemetery. And while it's not included in the cost, there is a statement that we need to do some redesign in some cases to avoid some of the issues with respect to the low system. Now let's turn to the other issue, which is the, which you can have difficulty reading, but it's the higher operations, which is in this case is a con. And we had to be very careful in looking at these numbers, and I'll discuss this in just a minute. But in the case of the operations and O&M, it turns out it's $450,000 per year is estimated for the gravity system. And that's a pretty firm number because, in terms of energy costs, for example, and because of the fact that it's the final design. In the case of the STEP system, that number is $750,000. And this is recognized because of the need to have more people on staff to do the types of things necessary for the maintenance. I may add, that the number of people in the staff, and some of those numbers have been correlated with our survey and operating systems. So we're not, we find they're about right in terms of the ratios. So everything you see up there would be a large construction cost, would be a pro in the case of STEP, and high O&M, which would be a con for the STEP. You reverse those two and you have gravity. So you're faced with a decision here where you have high O&M and low construction costs in one case versus the other alternative, which has high construction costs and low O&M. And we'll later on, I think we'll have a chance to talk about that, how you compare those things. Let's move on to the next subject here, which is construction impacts. Now I'm going to take a few minutes to talk about, I think, some of the key issues here in terms of the engineering and construction. In the case of the STEP, it would be our hope that a significant part of the pipe can be taken care of by directional boring. It's fast, it's cheap, and it's good. However, that works out well when you have homes which are widely dispersed, and so you have few laterals. Can you hear me? Yeah, okay. You prefer it down here? Is that better? Thank you. What was the last thing I said before I got tripped up here? Ah, yes, thank you. In the case of widely spaced houses where you have few laterals, then you're going to be able to do a lot of horizontal boring. In the case of Los Osos, we find that some of your lots are 50 feet apart, and therefore there's going to be a lot of laterals, and then the contractor may choose not to use horizontal boring and instead to trench. And we've surveyed the managers of these systems and find that that works out just about right. Now, here's the difficulty. We don't know how the contractors are going to view this and how they're going to bid. We don't know if they want to trench the whole thing, or certainly wouldn't trench the whole thing, but parts of it will need to be trenched, and parts of it we can use horizontal boring. And so the construction estimates are really up in the air with a 2-foot slit, and you only go down 4 feet, and you don't have to put a man in the trench. And none of that, you don't have to put any sand at the bottom. You just lay out the 4-inch pipe or whatever the diameter is, and few up and away you go. In the case of the gravity system, it's quite different. The key thing you have to control in a gravity system is you have to keep the pipe on a well-established slope with some accuracy. And that requires that you put a man in the trench. That means you have a wider trench, and you're going to have to shore. And as you go deeper, that means you not only have a wider trench and you have to go deeper, but as you get towards the top, you're going to have an angle in your slope. And so that gets expensive. But the bottom line is there has to be a person at the bottom of that trench with a laser level and who's going to bed that pipe and make certain it's got the gradient on it. And that is where your money is going into this piping system. It's not a question of the size of the pipe. It doesn't matter whether it's a 10-inch or a 4-inch. That's the big cost, is the man in the trench and all the stuff, which we would do, but it's also controlled by OSHA, for the safety of the individual. Now, this translates into, once I find my pointer, into a variety of things in terms of construction impact. You can see that if you're going deeper, or if you're going with the trench or the man on the bottom, you'll have a wider trench, and you're going to have more more soil around, and furthermore, your progress will be slower. The estimate we received is that your construction time will be about twice as fast with the STEP system, which is a pro, or one half the time for the case of a gravity system, and hence you reduce your environmental impact and the people impact. So that's where the pros and cons come from in this case. And that ties in with traffic disturbance and our convenience during the process. So while we had hoped that we would have a lot of directional boring That may not be the case, and that's going to depend. We have just to wait to see. Could you move me over just a little bit here so I can see? Okay. The next thing I want to comment on is property impact for, in this case, the private system. Oops. Okay, we'll just talk about the private system. What's going on your lot? Well, Rob Miller, I think, summarized it nicely. It'll be necessary to it's going to be necessary to install a tank, preferably in your front yard. That'll be a 1,500-gallon tank, and we'll talk about how it operates in a little more detail shortly with respect when we get into reliability. But there's also going to be a motor. There's also going to be an electrical motor and pump. There's also going to be a warning system, and there's also going to be a float device that go in there. And that is going to be the lid of this tank is going to be exposed in your front yard, if that's where the location is. And that means it had to be there for purposes of access for the personnel of the district to service your tank. There will also be an electrical box on your house, so that would be a con. This may sound strange, but again, we've compared these numbers with the other systems around the country, and they're pretty close. It's about a little over 2,000 for the gravity system, and it's about around 6,000 for the step system. By the way, the numbers we're talking about here are for the base electric system. This is where we can use the current box that you have, as opposed to the dedicated line that would be the state revolving fund may require. We have not considered or discussed the dedicated line. We question the wisdom of that. We don't understand it. The best I can say is perhaps it's a reliability issue. And beyond that, we would hope that the state revolving fund would understand the wisdom of not doing that. But we haven't even considered that. The other thing I should mention, and this is a private property impact, is people will not be need to access your step tank because of servicing it should there be a warning alarm go off, but also it'll need to be pumped periodically. Now, the design time that's in the fine screening report is pumped every 5 years. You'll hear more about this, I think, but our survey indicates that some people are getting by with 5 years, some are going to shorter times. And we can explain why that occurs later on. Yes. Could you move me over here just one shot? I need to see if that's lined up. Oh, yes, okay. Now we're going to talk about the reliability of the systems. Before I get too far into this, both systems are reliable. I'm not going to tell you that they're not reliable. That's not the case. But you can judge for yourself which one you like and which one is, according to your taste, more reliable. First, the gravity system. It requires maintenance. As Rob Miller mentioned, people got to get down those manholes, and they have to run cameras down the lines, and they have to have a look-see, or if they periodically have to go in there and make certain that the lines are clean and so we don't get blockages and stoppages. So there is that issue. In the case of the step system, we have, as I recall, four things that we had to keep track of. There's a pump and motor, and that's one. There's going to be the sensor, the float, that'll trigger the pump. There's going to be the warning system. And then there's going to be electricity. And you might say, well, there's no problem with electricity. Well, okay, first off, we've got to have electricity working in the area. There's no backup to your house if that fails. Second, we got to have the electricity, got to have your bills paid. Everybody here will pay their bills, so that's not the issue. And finally, electricity has to get to the tank. And so there's a disconnection in the underground, somebody or backhoe or something else happens, pumps away and draws your tank down to 500 gallons. And then a few days later, you fill the tank up again. In the meantime, there's all the processing going on, the biological processing going on.
Excuse me, Russell. I wonder if you can, you really are using up all the other time.
I'm sorry.
You bring it to a conclusion?
Well, all right. I'll get back to, I'll just brush through this real quick. So it's important that your float work, and it's important that your motor work, and they don't, the alarm goes off. And that's not the end of the world, because there are people on call. That's what the O&M is for, who are going to be alerted, and then they will show up. They'll pull a pump or whatever they need off the shelf, and they will fix it. It's important that we have a centralized facility for doing that. Also, our committee feels it's important we have a centralized monitoring system. That's not part of the project right now. Let's go on to the next one. The environmental impact. I think we've talked about the effect of the trenching and that type of thing, but there is one area here that we have not talked about, but Rob mentioned it. And this is a big positive point for the STEP. You have reduced biosolids, and hence there's a savings at the end of all this by a smaller biosolids activity, as well as less shipping. Infiltration and inflow potential. Again, through our survey, we find that, yes, there is some infiltration in the case of STEP. Not much, nothing to worry about, but it comes in through either people taking the lids off when they're not supposed to, or it comes in through the riser between the lid and the tank itself, but it's minor. This is the result of the survey through seven companies which have been managed. In the case of the gravity system, we did check with a pipe manufacturer who makes both types of pipes. And he said there's, at best, a very minor amount of infiltration in a current pipe as they're made. The gasket, bell and spigot gasket joints in the size of pipes we're talking about withstand a good deal of motion. And they've demonstrated this by tests. So infiltration is not a major point. It certainly is better, I believe that is better, I say, there's less of it in the case of the STEP system, but that does not mean to say it's a problem with the other system, the gravity system. Energy, real quick. When I looked first at energy, I thought, well, the STEP system is going to have major energy savings. And I looked at the numbers, and it turned out they're both listed as the same, 500,000 kilowatt hours per year. Now, that, what 500,000 from one came, as I understand it, from Ripley, and that's a little tough because he didn't complete his final design, so he can't come up with maybe the precise numbers we would like. So I'm not certain about that number one way or the other. But there is a logic behind this, and it's very simple. You have roughly 5,000 pumps, half a horsepower each. That gives you 2,500 horsepower out there in our system pumping away off and on. Mechanical and electrical engineers know that small pump, because I've overrun my time, and thank you, Bill, for nudging me.
Thank you very much, Russell. I'd like to get the report now from the Environmental Committee. Who's going to do that? Oh, you see? You haven't planned ahead.
I think Russell pretty much covered it, so there you go. Can we? Is it possible to fold these and do the whole thing? Never mind. Russell did cover a lot of what Dan and I were going to discuss, but we put in a little particulars. The other different thing, again, with ours is we did a comparison chart versus a pro-con at this point of it. We will be generating a pro-con post-discussion and when we get further evaluation. And our disclaimer at the bottom of our page does state we submitted about 20 questions to the project team. We've gotten most of those answered. But before we analyzed it as a pro-con, we wanted to get those responses first. And we did receive some yesterday, and we received a few more today. So for right now, it is an analysis. And we do have some pro-con discussion. Why don't you get your little thingy there? Get a microphone. We're going to be discussing this as we go through it. We did feel that the excavation for the new tank replacement was an impact. It's about 100. We, after discussion, it was about 150 square feet impact for the excavation that would be in the right of ways, right in front of our houses. Or we can't clarify where that's going to be on some of these lots, but we did think of that as an impact for construction disturbance. And then across the comparison across from that was that tank decommissioning was going to be exactly the same, and the excavation for gravity would be then the trenching of to lay the pipe from the house to the main in the street. So there was a little more. There is significant more excavation right on the property. It could involve, you know, with our driveways, it could be profound, it could be small, it could be to the side. But we did think that should be noted. It's the higher disturbance to residents for the step steg installation. That again, that comes from the tank decommissioning as well as then the tank plant. There would be two disruptions in your yard. Because that was one of the questions that came up. It's not profound. It would be done in a day either way. You know, they're going to be digging. They would dig for gravity collection. They would be digging a trench. But there would be two times that they would be coming through for the decommissioning and then for the new tank. The street impacts overall, though, with step collection were less. There was less depth in trenching. I mean, less depth in where they laid the lines. And the impact we felt for gravity was higher in street impacts because it would take 2 weeks per street for the installation of lines is what we were told. So that's there's time versus construction disturbance. Did you have anything to add there? We have notes.
I guess I just emphasized sort of at the outset, Russ emphasized that both these systems are viable. They're reliable if they're done right. So that's how we ended up with this kind of plus and minus. I think on the construction disturbance, yeah, I mean, the big difference is about how much of the disturbance is in our front yards versus how much is in the streets. The gravity's going to have a lot more disturbance to the street network, and the step stag's going to have a significant more disturbance. We said somewhere 100 to 150 square foot hole, you know, needs to be dug in everyone's yard to put this big new tank in.
The tanks were what we were told, 5 by 10.
Yeah, and then you need some side.
And then possible box insulation box, right, to put the guy into.
Yeah. Moving on to the impact on biological resources, if you can make it show, or it's the next row across that talks about dewatering. There's some impact, depending on where you are in the system. There's probably going to be some places where the system's going to have to dig through, the collection system's going to have to cut through land that has some pretty high biological value. It would be it would be better if you could directional bore through that, but that's a relatively small proportion of the system. One of the big biological impacts is about water quality, which is dewatering. If we're going to dig, do any kind of digging, lots of areas of Los Osos have really high groundwater. With the gravity system, in some areas you're going to be digging quite deep. There's going to be a presumed need to dewater the trenches. So as you dig, you're actually going below the water table. They're going to fill with water. You have to pump that out, and you have to deal with it. You're going to need discharge permits. From our perspective, you need to come up with a system where that doesn't flow down into the bay or into our creeks or into our yards. There's also going to be some dewatering needed with the step stag system. There's areas of town, part of the reason we need a sewer system is because there's areas of towns where people's septic tanks are underwater. And there's been some documentation of that of people who've had to actually fill their tanks to sink them in the hole as they've replaced their tanks. So there's going to be dewatering needed as well with the step stag to get people's new tanks in the ground. But we think overall it's going to be less significant because the overall collection system is going to be much shallower. And that's about it for the biological resources that we had. And then the community impact sort of overlaps with the construction disturbance. Again, it's very much about both the short-term. For step stag, it's about the short-term impacts on your property as well as in the street. And there's the short term and then there's the long term, and I think Russ covered a lot of this. There's easements, there's access issues, there's maintenance in your front yard. You want to help me walk through this?
We really wanted to be able to lay out the whole picture we felt on the community impacts, and we tried to do a pretty equal kind of running down the checklist of where, what equipment is where when we're talking about these collection systems. The permanent impact to the community is positive overall because we have a wastewater treatment facility. So that's, again, we're having trouble saying these are all pros or cons, but the permanent impacts on a person's property are the easements, the visuals aren't significant. There will be a manhole for accessibility in your front yard. There will be the box on we would be making a commitment. As it stands now, from what we found in the fine screening, if an alarm went off, we would need to call for service. That's something we've discussed. We want some clarity. We feel more comfortable and less of a community impact if a system was designed for a district monitoring system. And we have asked that be additional issue be addressed and looked at, because it's not in the fine screening as it stands right now. It doesn't discuss the monitoring of the entire system by the district. We think if that was addressed, that would reduce that individual homeowner's impact or responsibility. Venting at high points of system, odor control, not going to be much different, like engineering said, in regards to the pump stations. I believe, Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, we were asking about how many high point state possibilities, over 200, but less than 300, 400? Did we know?
I haven't counted them up. Okay. Ripley had an estimate that I think was high.
Yeah, it was. We thought that Ripley's might be too high, but that we wanted to stay safe, so we said over 200 and less than 500. So there's a really wide range there.
Those are, to be clear, those are vents that are needed
at the high points in the system.
Yeah, in the step stake system to run those pressurized lines when they come over hills. At high points, you have to have a release vent,
a release valve.
So, and it's not open necessarily. You put some kind of odor control carbon filter on it that helps control it, and there you have it. And then similarly for gravity, you have many less, but you have these larger lift stations that also have odor issues.
The similar odor controls.
That can also be controlled to some extent with filters.
We felt that the permanent impacts for the gravity collection, a higher impact would be the visible pump stations throughout the community, which with the last design state system was 20, which is a significant amount of talking about little buildings throughout the community dealing with odor control and electrical and all that. So there, you know, the STEP did have the backup or the systems throughout, but we felt that the visible pump stations would be a permanent, you know, we'd probably get used to it, but it would be kind of significant to have these throughout the community. And then the other permanent impact would be the grinder pumps at certain locations, which we found out tonight was 150. And then the truck traffic to the plant. System failure risks. We felt that, the homeowner responsibility was significant because as it's stated right now, it would be the homeowner's responsibility. And I think I've gone over why that we have a concern about that. What if you're out of town? We had a question in regards to requirements of backup power supplies for tanks. We were lacking. We weren't sure about that, but we did get the response on that no, homeowners would not be responsible for providing any type of backup power, that our tanks would be okay for several days without power, and that wasn't a significant concern, but we did discuss it. Effluent more concentrated throughout the system in the step collection. Then, again, effluent throughout the system. Either system, you're going to have effluent of one type or another. One carries, you know, a concentrated level, and another one's just everything. So there, either way, there's a significant amount of effluent traveling. Do you want anything to the failure? These are assumptions, and I think we have to hang on to that for right now, and this is what we've got right now. These are assumptions that are being made for this type of analysis, and I would fully expect that either in a fine screening or on further examination that we would see a little more clarity in these numbers or a description of as to why these numbers are as they are. Did you want to add more?
Just that I think this gets to, at our last meeting, we talked about the energy use for the treatment technology at the plant, and I think when the energy is going to make the most sense is when we combine the collection system, the treatment at the plant, and the biosolids, because they're inextricably linked in this. So they come out even here, you have less biosolids to deal with at the plant, so that's presumably going to be some sort of energy savings with STEPSTEG in the biosolids, which we're going to be talking about in next meeting, and then you know, you have different nitrogen levels, so to get nitrogen levels low, it takes different amounts of energy in the technology step. So I think the energy picture is going to make the most sense when we start stringing these together into complete projects. But just for this section alone, I think we sort of came to the same conclusion that Russ did and has presented in here, that it's sort of a wash at this point.
Dan and I have really ambitious dreams of creating this amazing table of components and energy and just putting this all together. So that's our dream. Our statement, again, we've submitted our questions. We'll be coming back to you with, you know, a more comprehensive program based on this. But, you know, hearing comments and then listening to the other groups, again, I think we'll be able to do a more comprehensive job for this as we pull all these pieces together. So that's we're done.
Thank you very much, Maria and Dan. And that'll take us to the financial subcommittee, and that's going to be you, Karen. Okay.
Diane, I'm just going to rely on you to put up our chart. We, as a group, decided that we really wanted to see things side by side, so we stuck with our the original format where we can take capital costs as a category and show the pros and cons of gravity next to the step stake, so it's really easy to follow, hopefully. So I'm going to start with what we've got there, and I'm not going to read through or explain everything. I'm hoping you can read through it. But on the capital costs, actually one of the things we thought may be potential modest savings if there's a combined system, that is what is mentioned in the fine screen. However, when we look back into the rough screen and when we hear some input from the engineering group, we may find that, in fact, that's not the case. So that's kind of up in the air. The cons for gravity include the higher construction costs, and we have attached a table. We'll get to that in a moment, where we give some numbers. At this point, we're looking at $69.4 to $77.7 million, and I'll show you where we get those numbers. They're not all inclusive. That's just for the collection system. Construction costs do not include the additional road restoration for the out-of-town section. We did confirm that with the county. Higher homeowner costs is a con because the homeowner has to pay for the on-lot to a large extent with the gravity collection system and more shallow access points. And we're going on the same assumption that the engineering group did, and that is that we are not going to be putting in separate electrical connections and paying that premium. In other words, doing a whole new line draw. In step of con, there are the costs for the new electrical connection. Now, this is not the separate one, just the regular one, because there is still an electrical connection that needs to be made, and that ranges anywhere from $1,900 to $3,000. Could be higher if we did use a separate electrical connection, but again, we're not going to go there. Operations and maintenance. Gravity appears to have lower O&M at $450,000 a year. STEPSTEG has higher O&M at $750,000 per year. We feel like there's probably some more homework that we need to look at there, but that's what the fine screen is telling us. Financial risk factors. One of the things that it mentions in the fine screen in Chapter 1 applies to the gravity, and that is that over time, even with PVC, because those joints are not welded, you're going to have a maintenance program. Now, replacement is included in the O&M cost for gravity. However, to have an ongoing maintenance program with monitoring is not included. So we put that as a con. That would need to be added. That would incur additional cost. Funding factors, as a con for STEP, of course, if we wanted to use an SRF loan, they might require that separate electrical premium, and that could cost us anywhere from $13.4 to $25.3 million. So that's those are the pros and cons in the verbiage. And Diana, if you want to go to the chart. And I hope you can see all of this. We started with construction costs, and you can see gravity side by side with STEP. We showed both the high and the low ranges. Our total construction costs for gravity, you can see how we got to that $69.4 million and the high at $77.7. That does not include on-lot costs, which will be borne by the homeowner. If you follow down that same column, where you add in the homeowner on-lot costs, then you can see that the total construction costs go from $80.3 million to $89.7 million for gravity. On STEP, again, if you follow down total construction costs without including the on-lot costs, are $59.4 to $75.3 million. And there is that line there that shows you how much a separate electrical connection would cost us. So that's where that's detailed. That is not included, however, in the total costs in the next two lines or next three lines. The homeowner on-lot costs appear the second to the last line, and the low at $5.4 million to a high of $5.9 million, which brings us to a total construction that includes the on-lot costs of $64.8 million to $81.2 million. And we have three footnotes. Just one in particular. Utilization of septic tanks provides a primary level of treatment, which may reduce the costs associated with treatment and solids handling. We believed in terms of the installation of the collection system for STEP that the lower installation costs are due to the smaller pipes and the lower road impacts. And the road impacts, would be lower due to the fact that the pipe installation is much shallower. There are no manholes, pump stations, standby power, et cetera. And let's see. I think, guys, have I missed something? No? Okay. The only other thing was the... So we've got a lot of questions, just as I think Maria had mentioned. We've asked a bunch, and we've got a few answers. We appreciate that, and we're waiting for some more answers. So we reserve the right to make changes down the road. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much, Karen. And I guess that concludes the presentations from each of the working committees. We're now going to move to our public comments. So if you... want to speak and haven't submitted a slip, please do so now. We're going to still allow even though we're running a little late, we'll still allow our 30 minutes for public comment. Yeah. And remember, this is public comment only on the collection system. Others would be later. So if I can get this... Just hold on a second here, and we'll get the rest of the slips. Okay, I'd like to begin the public comment, and please, we have quite a few people who wish to speak on this subject. I'm going to still go with the 3 minutes, but I really would appreciate if you don't need the 3 minutes, that you don't take it, so that we can...
Problems they found with any of the exhibits or tables. So I guess I could use 20 minutes, but I guess I'll just go through and point the ones out that, and these aren't my opinion, these are just blatant errors. Table 3.9 doesn't coincide with the statement right above it. Table 3.7, every heading in that table is incorrect. And if you notice, the first two descriptions are exactly the same for two different tank installation methods. Table 313, the total on-lot cost isn't the total of the numbers above it. If you add straight down, you're not going to get 9350. You're going to get 9550. Table 315 is inconsistent with 316, since the difference in the total cost per connection and the base cost premium in the low estimate in table 315 is 1900, in table 316 is 2400, which then translates over to table 318. Sorry, I'm going so fast, but I only have 3 minutes. Table 318, in the middle of that table, you have electrical connections. And in the notes on the side, it says the low and high estimate based on 2,400 and 3,000 per connection respectively. At 2,400, the low estimate isn't 9.1 million. It's actually 11.4. The 14.3 is correct, which if the 9.1 isn't correct and it's 11.4, every number from there down to the bottom of that page is incorrect. The other incorrect total is the electrical connection premium. If you multiply from table 314, I think it is, or 15, the 2550 premium times 4769, you don't get 13,000,004, you get 12,000,002. And if you do it in the other column, you don't get 25,300, you get 24,100.
Your time is up, Richard. Time? Can okay. you
if you'd like clarification, as it says in your mission statement, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Chuck Cicino, followed by Lacey Cooper.
Several weeks ago, Don Bearden handed you an article written by an attorney, and it talked about easements and step collection systems. And I have a letter from that, Connections for Clustered Systems. Please see all my other articles in Small Flows extolling the advantages of clustered systems, as in Pio Lombardo last night. And that if they do insist on doing so, the main enforcement tool, condemnation, won't work for on-lot collection components. In addition, traditional easements can be used for clustered systems, provided they contain some basic language covered in the inherent nature of step systems. In the first article, I gave examples of the strengths and weaknesses of different types of easements that can be utilized for a step collection system. Please see the enclosed sample easement for an example of what a good step easement should look like. In lieu of obtaining individual easements, government entities and utility cooperatives often include the requirement for an easement in the overall service tariff, or codification of the rules and regulations under which customers agree to receive service. I can send you an example if you'd like one. You stated some people are taking my articles out of context to oppose STEP. I will be more than willing to explain my position to anyone who has misinterpreted my articles. For the record, let me make this perfectly clear. Step collection is one of the most undervalued, underutilized technologies the wastewater engineering community has at its disposal. First Step is the only collection system that provides primary treatment prior to the treatment plant. Second, the fact that it is watertight saves the cost of conveyance and treatment and virtually eliminates the INI problems associated with traditional gravity sewer. I have looked at an excellent summary of step collection done by Dana Ripley, PE, for the city of Los Osos, California, which details these benefits and more. Some people have mistaken perception that step is not popular because the utility owns infrastructure on lot. I believe it is irresponsible for any utility not to own and operate on-lot infrastructure. In communities served by gravity sewers, even though the on-lot laterals are not traditionally owned by the utility, utility still owns the problems of leakage and infiltration. This places a burden on the collection and treatment systems. You've heard the adage, those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. Well, the repetition of mistakes in the construction and management of traditional gravity sewers has greatly contributed to our nation's infrastructure shortfall. And if memory serves me, Orenco has consistently, and for the right reasons, recommend the utilities own and operate on-lot components. I applaud you for this good fight.
Thank
you. Sincerely, Elizabeth Dietzman.
Thank you.
You have a copy.
Lacey Cooper, followed by Bo Cooper.
Hi, my name is Lacey Cooper. I sent an email to, I don't know if all the TAC committee members received it, but I was hoping, and maybe you did, look at the Orenco system report because they had good outlines about pro-cons for step and gravity. And I'm certainly just trying to comprehend all this, but a lot of what you were saying didn't jive with what I've heard about the advantages of step over gravity. And so I'm a little confused because I guess I heard that step is actually cheaper than what has come out in the Carrillo report. And in the Ripley, the O&M, from what I saw in the chart just briefly, was the same cost. And in Orenco, of course, it's much lower, and that might be because it's a design build, but step is quite a bit lower than these pipes. And so if you have a spill, it's much more serious than if you just have effluent going through your pipes, as in step. And I think that's where you start weighting the pros and cons. Some are more serious. And if you have a spill, I was reading that gravity, you can have 100 gallons per minute. And then in a step, if you have a tank overflow, it's like 200 gallons per day until it would get fixed. So you can have kind of a catastrophic event into the bay or just into your groundwater. Also, you can have chemical dumping, not terrorism or anything, but just chemical dumping into your manholes. And also, since we don't have any drainage, then you can have all the runoff go into your, into the manholes too. So there's also, I know Keith, he's not here tonight, Keith Swanson always had that the raw sewage thing, it's really important not to do that near an estuary and these kind of things. We have to think of the environment.
Thank you
very
much.
I wish I had more time because I...
Okay, thank you very much. Bo Cooper, followed by Ann Normand.
Hi, Bo Cooper. I'll remind you about the EIR from year 2000, the one that is the basis of the Tri-W and the gravity system, the ranking of alternatives for the environmentally superior alternatives, the collection system. First was step and step stag. Second was step stag hybrid, and only third of three was the gravity system. Okay, and just as an aside, the Andre out of sight came in first. Tri-W was fourth of five. Okay, so how could the gravity system have been picked if it's the least of the alternatives for collection? There's a statement of overriding considerations in the final EIR. And I'll read, it says, an in-town site was chosen over the other locations because, And one reason was because of trails, bikeways, and open space because of the idea of a park, which, of course, isn't happening anymore. The other one says, quote, it results in the lowest cost for the collection system by centrally locating the treatment facility within the area served. I think what we've seen with the numbers is the gravity system is not the cheapest system, or it's certainly not necessarily the cheapest system. If you take out the bogus, the $106.5 million, if there's the electrical connection premium, I think everybody agrees that that ought not to be there. I know Pablo said he'll fight against it, and we kind of agree, and even the reports by the engineer and so on says, no, we're not going to, we don't expect that to happen. So if you take out that, the step stag becomes the cheaper alternative. The other thing I wanted to say, I've been going, Lisa and I have both been going to the wastewater advisory committee meeting, and I'll speak for myself. I'm not a scientist. I don't do technical stuff very well, but I see the entire wastewater advisory committee, who are very intelligent, doing a wonderful job, people, say the cost, the prices are not legitimate. The prices on the lists, just what Richard Markison was saying, it goes on and on and on. They go on for an hour, a couple of hours, saying, hey, this chart.
Ann Norman, followed by Lawson Schaller.
Hi, Ann Norman, Los Osos. I just have one comment and then two quick questions that could be answered later. As far as the environmental review, I think it is a very important consideration to think about gravity pipes versus step pipes and what might happen in the event of a rupture, especially because we're in a seismically active area and the pipes will be in low groundwater. So I would like to see that considered in the pro-con analysis. And that also may have significant financial impacts as well, because I imagine there are significant fines for dumping raw sewage into a national estuary. The two quick questions, how big is the lid of the step stag that's sitting in somebody's front yard? Is this a huge lid or is this a little lid? That has an impact on my thoughts about this. And how accurately is sludge removal reflected in the O&M costs for gravity systems? And is a projection long-term a fair one? Because, you know, the sludge is going to be harder and harder to get it rid of. So those costs may be significant down the road. So I'd love to hear those questions answered, and thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll respond to the questions after. Lawson Schaller, followed by Pat Renshaw.
Good evening, TAC. Lawson Schaller, Los Osos. I want to thank the TAC again for their efforts and the time and the commitment that you're all making. I want to thank county staff for their participation. I'd like to acknowledge Richard Margetson's discoveries in Chapter 3. I was very disappointed to see that. And I just want to clarify, earlier today I made a public comment to Board of Supervisors expressing my criticism. I want to make it clear to staff that that criticism was directed at Carollo and not the county. A lot of money's gone into that report. My opinion, I think those were amateur-like errors that should have been avoided and should have been caught. And those details were submitted to the county board today. I guess one concern I have is the series studies have shown, and I know from experience in different organizations I've worked in, a series of minor errors can likely lead to other major errors or oversight. So I'm concerned about, is this thing riddled with a lot of small errors that may be reflecting a certain level of apathy? Engineering group report I thought was thorough, and I think they used a lot of other information out of Ripley and maybe the rough guiding. So that was encouraging to see that they didn't necessarily rely entirely on Carollo. Quick question, the 4,769 pump example was used. I was under the impression there might be some gravity in some homes, but I probably got that wrong. Again, I have concern with the INI discharge. The Regional Water Board has clearly lost patience with us over the decades. I think we've pushed them to the limit, and if we do have a leak, a raw sewage leak in a gravity system, or a step, as far as that goes, what's their position going to be? What will the fines be? Perhaps we can look back historically and try to budget in some, anticipate some fines if there is a leak. The other thing, last night, some of you may know, Pio Lombardo made a presentation about consider the decentralized option. That was encouraging. And he spoke of Peel Lombardo's credibility also. Thank you.
Thank you. Pat Renshaw, followed by George Taylor.
Pat Renshaw. I just had a few questions. If we need a circuit breaker that goes to the house, does it have to have a whole new box? I mean, do you have to have a whole new box, or can you just put a circuit breaker in your own box that's already in there?
We'll answer all the questions at the end.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just asking.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And if we do have a spill with the gravity system and there's manhole covers, I remember times in L.A. when we just have floods, and you'd see all the sewage coming up through the manhole covers. So that would be a concern of mine because we're so close to the bay. Easements, the cable company has the easements, gas company, electric company, fire departments, they all have easements on our properties. So I don't think easements are a big issue. And I'm hoping that at some point you can have a meeting like this, but people can actually ask questions of the speakers. I know it's real hard sometimes because people stand up and say things and they kind of go on a little bit, and you have questions that you'd like to ask, but there really isn't an opportunity. And I just would think that if you had a meeting like that, sort of a roundtable discussion, more so than a speaker, and everybody listens. So that's a suggestion that I would have. And the issues that Richard Margeson brought up, I definitely think you should schedule a meeting with him and have him go all over your financial numbers, because he seems to have a knack for that. And I'm sure if you gave him an hour's worth of time and just sat down with him, you could probably get all your numbers lined up in a row, and then you'd be working with real figures. Ripley, you keep talking about using Ripley's numbers, but he's never had a chance to finish the numbers. Is there ever going to be an opportunity for him to finish what he started at the beginning? And I think that if there is a way to look at a combination of systems, I really feel that the way our community is, if we had some step stag and some on-site systems where people can't access either one, I'd like you to look at that too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. George Taylor, followed by Lindy Owen.
Good evening. George Taylor, Los Osos. The Lombardo decentralized system was discussed last night. It's an on-site system. I've been informed that they will be added to the fine screening deliberation. This being so, I ask that Orenco step collection system and the pet air system be added to the deliberations. I think it's only that I think that they had better do some research, because I think they're way, way off base. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lindy Owen, followed by Frank Osilio.
Good evening, Lindy Owen, and thank you for all the work you do. I'm completely disappointed. And as everybody knows, I don't know why we would want to have raw sewage running under our streets in our water supply, leaking. They hold up for 30 years, not 75 years. Step collection has a chance to hold up much longer. Step collection goes alongside the street. No impact on our terrible streets. I mean, they're bad right now. Imagine when we start putting a 6 to 8 foot wide section being cut out and going up to 25 feet underneath to install these pipes. Do you guys know that? Because I feel like there's something that's just...
We're not going to respond to questions at this point, Lindy, so...
I was emphasizing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, step collection is the future, and if we want to go to the past, I guess, you know, we could be drugged there, but I hope that we don't have to do that. I hope that we can begin to see the value of this. There are so many things that were wrong in some of the presentations, and I was especially some of the engineering. The material that's being hauled through those pipes is not effluent. One is raw sewage and everything that comes through a person's toilet and sink, and the other is effluent. It's pre-treated. Over 90% of the biosolids are gone. Whole different product, and when they spill, there's a whole different result. You talked about the alarm, the pump running all the time. It runs for 15 minutes a day. It's at the estimated cost of $15 a month. I mean, a year. Excuse me, a year. So you made it sound like STEP has these 5,000 pumps running all day. Not true at all. Completely wrong. The SCADA alarm system makes it so that you only need 1.5 operators to run an entire sewer plant. And you said it took way more. It takes 4 to 5 certified, trained sewer operators to run all the chemical panels. It's like being in a submarine to look at a sewer plant. And the keeping it all those chemicals running right so they can break down the solids in 24 hours rather than 5 years. So I'm very sad, and I'll be writing a lot of comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Frank Asilio, followed by Alan Perlman.
Yes, Frank Asilio, Los Osos. First, I start with, I believe, aren't there some septic tanks above ground in Los Osos, and they have then their leach field goes back into the ground. Also, I'd like to see the environmental people identify all high water areas. There's a number of them where you just dig a few feet and you hit water. And I think it would be a good idea to have a map of Los Osos that shows all the high water areas. The other thing is the failure of the gravity versus the failure of the STEP system. I understand that we have a two-day, if the power goes out, there's 2 days of 500 gallons that could ecological issues about trenching this time. That was something I see missing this time around. And the rest, other people already covered, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Lon Perlman, followed by Stuart Denker.
Hi, Lon Perlman, and I'm pretty pleased with the process as it's turning out, particularly at this point. I think it is, the tech has a potential of going south, which in my case I would assume is Tri-W, which isn't exactly south. But I will throw a few comments in here that I don't believe that adding a fudge factor of 30% to the Ripley report is necessarily, first of all, you have to assume he may have had his own fudge factors in there. It's very easy to bias. I'm not saying it's not entirely legitimate, but ultimately all you need to do is make a fudge factor of 35%, and pretty soon both options are equal. So this is an area of concern, possibly. As far as tank decommissioning and excavation, I think that's a valid comment. I'm not entirely sure if you always leave. I mean, most of those tanks should be replaced one to one, hopefully most of them. And so I don't know if that was presented in the right numbers. There's multiple classes, and taking the worst case scenario does give certain level of honesty, but if you overdo it, you end up cutting out some of the choices. Front yard versus street for the location of septic tanks. Most people have an additional amount of property, which is really the county's right of way. So most of these septic tanks will be taking place in some relationship to the county's right of way, and that is something actually that should be looked at. But it's hardly the same as having people complain about, oh, you're taking away my property versus thing. Am I out of time?
No, you've got good. 1 minute.
1 minute. In regards to the energy, apparently there's a difference of 0.2 million gallon per day between what STEP removes from town and what gravity removes from town. And in both cases, I noticed that it states, and this is the Environmental Committee, that it's going to a location that is out of town. Any large amount of hauling that takes place should really be included as an energy cost, because if you're physically lifting materials and driving them out of town in diesel trucks, that really should count as an energy cost, whether it's PG&E related or not. I'm a little concerned in a material that was released earlier, I believe, and that has to do with a statement that all these sites are going to have their haulage within the county. I believe Tri-W was not identified as the original Tri-W was to be hauled all the way to Santa Maria. Thank you.
Thank you. Stuart Danker, followed by Lacey Cooper.
That it's going to wreck, occur in the green space and hard space of the individual homes is far greater with the step system. And I'm not concerned about easements, but I think that the citizens need to study this for themselves and see if they want to have their garden die for the sins of the community or have that burden shifted elsewhere, which seems to occur rather simply with a gravity system. The ease of demolishing my existing septic system, decommissioning it, and running a lateral to the street, to me, is still the simpler system. And I will leave my opinion, with that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lacey Cooper, I'm sorry, you had already spoken, so I have your question. We'll answer your question when we get to it. Al Barrow? I caught you off a guard, Al.
Thank you. No applause, please. Thank you all. I applaud you all for all the work you're doing. And I also have to take you off the hook. And the way I'm doing that is by saying you didn't invent this process. You just volunteered to help in it. If you did, you probably would have done it slightly differently. It's very difficult to take a set of assumptions by an engineering company and to work with them. And that's what your challenge has been. And it's very unfair because you don't have the assumptions from other parts of the industry. We have Corolo, who's a traditional company with big gravity and centralized sewers. And so you have to work with what you have. And that puts a tremendous constraint and limit on the product that you can produce. So normally I would come up here and I would criticize and I would say, well, the numbers that I'm seeing are shocking, they're horrible, they're unacceptable, they're historically, I've never seen numbers this huge in the 10 years that I've been looking at this project. It's just unacceptable. I don't see how anybody could vote 218 for these numbers, $107 million. $207 million. Did I say that? $207 million? Pablo said today, said, well, the number's a little off, but they'll get better as time goes by. Which is kind of interesting because Montgomery Watson said that to us about 5 years ago. And the solutions group promised us that we would have a $33 million project. Bob was on the solutions group. Now that just the numbers that you have for STEP are three times as much as their whole system. Now, I'm not saying Bob was lying, but there's a credibility gap there somewhere, and that is the private industry numbers that you haven't had, and you need to have those because the people who... Thank you.
Thank you very much, Al. With that, I'm going to bring the discussion back to the TAC, and we will actually begin our discussion. I know we're running late, but this has been important information. I appreciate everything that we heard from the audience. So let's start the discussion again in the same manner as we did last time. Oh, first, let's answer what questions we can. And I know, Rob, you were taking a whole bunch of notes. So why don't you try to answer some of the questions from the audience?
Sure, and I know we're getting late on time, so I'll try to rifle through these brutally quickly. For Richard Margetson's comments, I'd certainly be willing to invest that hour to solicit and extract all the detail there, because those errors, they do need to be fixed. From Chuck Sasania, thank you for the letter. Would be very interested in that service tariff document that she was referring to and would give upon request. From Ann Norman, how big is the lid? 24 inches, 2 feet, green. And then how accurate is the sludge removal number? And I'm thinking that you're referring to the $46 a ton, a current number, but certainly could be subject to inflationary pressures over time. It's something we'll all want to focus next week when we talk about biosolids hauling, whether that $46 a ton is going to hold true. For Pat Renshaw, does a circuit breaker need a whole new box, a new sub-panel? No, not if there's room in the existing panel for another breaker, but it would need a sub-panel if you don't have space. And then Ripley finishing their work product, they were working for the CSD, so perhaps there was a funding issue there. I think that's probably what stopped that from getting into a final form, although we have a very complete draft report. Let's see. Identifying high water areas from Frank. That was done. There's a really good map out there that was done by Fugro with depth to groundwater contours. It's a really good map. I can provide that to folks if they're interested. And then Alon Perlman was asking about the hauling and the Tri-W project. Yes, that was to Santa Barbara County. And then I had a question as to what is a lift station. That in a gravity system, that would be synonymous with a community pump station. It'd be the same thing. Lift station, pump station would be the same community pumping system in a gravity system to convey the wastewater from low points either to a treatment plant or to another higher spot in the community. And we had about 20 of those in the gravity system.
I think it might be very convenient if you, that groundwater map, if you got that to the environmental committee, they probably could use that. Does any other committee members have responses to questions or comments that we heard from the audience? Just go ahead, Dan.
Mr. Chairman, there were a number of comments about the step and gravity collection systems and their impact on the rest of the process. And would this be a good time to do that?
Briefly.
Process where you choose gravity versus step. And that's something that was raised in our committee meeting, and two of us pursued this in some detail. And thanks to Bob Semison, he's come up with a graphic that helps describe that. So let me just quickly go through this. There should be several of these, but I'm only pointing to the one involving gravity and step for construction costs. And also, we've taken the maximum. We also did the minimum as well. And I'll show you, tell you what the numbers are, result from that also. But we start off with the gravity, and you have, according to the Corolla report, about $90 million in your base cost for the collection system and a base cost of about $81 million for a step. I know you may not agree with those numbers, but bear with me, and let's see what happens as we go through this. As a result of step, which having a different, having some pre-processing, it turns out that you need a bigger secondary treatment, and hence it costs the gravity side of this equation $2.7 million more in construction costs for secondary, because it's treating more and different, in this case, more wastewater. Furthermore, there's more biosolids in the gravity side of this than there is in the step, and that turns out to be $0.4 million more in setting up or in construction costs for the biosolids. So the net effect is, by choosing gravity, you have an increased cost over the step system of 89.7, added that up to 3.1 increased cost for a total of $93 million. Now, there's another side of the equation. The step system produces because of the pre-processing, produces a different input to the secondary treatment. You go through the same secondary treatment process, BioLac or the facultative ponds or the oxidation ditch, it turns out your nitrogen level is higher. And so before you can put that through tertiary treatment, you must take out the nitrogen, and hence you need nitrification. And that construction cost is $3.6 million. Then you go through, and that adds in $3.6 million. So there's an adjustment here between the two, and now it's 93 versus 84. We can do the same thing with respect to the operations and maintenance and the slight adjustments in that case as well. Now, that shows the impact, and to be brief here, that shows the impact of these choices with respect to the rest of the system, and that ultimately we put into the overall cost analysis. The next point is this, because I've heard a number of people comment about this. If you look at these numbers, so let's take the 90 versus 81, there's quite a difference there of $8 million between the two systems. Some of you believe it should be a bigger difference. All right. That's not my point. But also, there's general agreement, perhaps not here, but there is general agreement, but the O&M is higher for the step, and it's lower for the gravity. Now, how do we compare those two?
Russ, can we kind of make this back to the TAC discussion? Because I think you're getting into areas that the financial group also has, and in fact, one of the things that are a little disturbing is that the numbers that the engineering group has come up and that the financial group has come up with don't match, and you supposedly both got them from the same document, so there's some concern about
that. Well, I would differ, because I did look at the bottom line, and they do agree. Yeah. If you would like me to sit down, I will.
Yeah, I think we need to really bring it back to the TAC discussion.
Where in the system spills would be most likely to occur? I think those are things we're hearing from a number of folks, and we're going to work with Rob and the county team and wherever else we need to go to get the answers to those for folks.
Any other of the groups want to comment to the comments from the audience? Then why don't we go back to commenting on each other's pro-con. I think there's a lot of information in it, and again, Russ, as I mentioned, Karen, you may want to comment. Am I correct that your figures and engineering figures don't agree?
Thanks, Bill. We are all working from the same document. However, we are probably looking at different aspects, and I have a detailed thing, cost comparison chart that I've been working on. It's not published. I haven't even discussed it with my own group yet. But a lot depends on what you include in those final costs and if you're looking at the lows and the highs. So when we talk about the costs, let's be really careful not to throw numbers around unless we're very thorough in explaining what we're including and not including. So that's why our costs may be different at this point. But I would like to take this opportunity to comment on the engineering pros and cons, if I may.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Thank you. I think that one of the questions that is in our minds, or in my mind at least, when I took a look at some of the research, was the interval of pumping times for the step stag system. How often do we have to pump those tanks? Now, Bob, I understand that you all did some research, talked to a number of managers. I'd be very interested in hearing the results of your conversations and your research. Would you let us know about that?
No? Okay. Yeah, I spoke with every manager that was in the rough screening report of all the municipalities, and I had put together just a 20-question document. Most of it was very benign. What's the topography? What's your groundwater? Informational items. And then I did have the last thing was manager comments, where I'd let them make whatever comments they wanted. But as far as the two issues that have been brought up quite a bit, that at least the answer from these people who are actually operating the systems was septic tank pumping interval policy, every one of them was 5 years max. Two of them were actually 3 years, And then, one of those two had commercial at 1 year. And they had started with higher pumping intervals where it was spaced out further, but then they brought it in and made it tighter over time. Some of the reasons for that varied, you know, but they talked about their biggest problem was with floats getting hung up. Go ahead, Rob.
I was just wondering, do you have any information on what the size of the tanks are that they're using? Are they all using basically the same thing we're looking at?
Yeah, four of them are using all Orenco equipment. And all four that are using the Orenco equipment think it is the cat's meow. It's really good equipment. And I think we've heard that from other areas, that the Orenco equipment is good. You know, they qualified it with when you have a lot of pumps, there's an expected engineering rate of failure. And they said the Orenco equipment is definitely within what you would expect.
Just one more question on Orenco. They said that they're all happy with their Orenco equipment. Did they say anything about the Orenco bids that they gave versus what they actually ended up with?
No. What they did, one of the questions I asked them was about, because they all went through the same issues, you know, gravity versus step and that type of those issues that we're going through now. And one thing that's interesting, which in the top, the common geographic characteristics, there were two common characteristics, basically, that most of them had. High groundwater, and when I say high groundwater, I mean high groundwater 5 feet over the entire area that's being collected, or small pockets of development with long distances between them. The part that was interesting, because we've had a lot of controversy here about why is STEP so much more expensive from Corollo than what people have expected. And all of them, as most of you probably know, there were two that were just basically high-density areas only. And that was Olympia and Camas, Washington, had those. And both of them, their bids or their estimated costs were very close also between STEP and STAG. And all of them STEP and gravity, sorry. All of them said that the reason for choosing the STEP system was because of the costs given the characteristics they were having to deal with. For instance, Berry County in Minnesota, they serve 9 lakes. Some of the lakes are 3 miles apart with no development in between, just at those lakes. And there might be 100 units. So STEP totally made sense in their estimation, and the estimates for the gravity were outrageous for that amount relative to the STEP system. So it's really dependent on the characteristics of the area that you're dealing with. But back to your question about the tanks. Almost all of them were 1,500-gallon tanks. And part of the reason for that was, even though we only have 1,200 and 1,000, so...
Okay, my question was, why were they dissatisfied, but you don't...
Cost of maintenance. All of them said that the cost of maintenance for the STEP system is higher than a gravity system. They were unequivocal about that. But given the initial capital costs that some of them were going to be looking at if they put in a gravity system, it has been worth the extra maintenance costs. But Camas and Olympia, it's basically their maintenance costs were too high. And they gave me details, like Mike... Mike Stevens at Camas said that they have between 94 and 106 after-hour call-outs has been the average over a three-year period for after-hour call-outs on their STEP system. And, yeah, per year. You know, but I don't know what they're doing differently that would make that be the case. And I think most people here have heard or seen the information about Olympia. Olympia, it's just high maintenance costs, and I think you've probably seen the city council has started the process of removing their STEP system.
Were you able to talk with Charlotte County, Florida?
Yes. They're the ones that have 5 feet of groundwater for ever and ever. Yes.
And I thought that Olympia, one of the biggest problems they had was the STEP were being installed in new developments where and then feeding into a gravity collection system with concrete pipes, and once the two mixed, it started rotting away the pipes. That's what was my understanding.
Yeah. And I talked to Andy Hobb, he's the manager of it, about that. And when I finished my questionnaire with him, I asked him flat out, take that problem away, would you continue with STEP? And he said, absolutely not. That is not our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is maintenance. And what he told me was they have 13,000 gravity connections and 1,700 STEP connections, and 91% of their maintenance callouts are on the STEP system. But that isn't the case with these others, you know. So I don't know what's being done differently. But I can tell you that five of the seven are very satisfied with their STEP system.
Are any other questions pertaining to engineering or comments on the engineering, Dan?
Well, this kind of overlaps between engineering and finance. I thought I had sort of the opposite reaction, I think, of you, Bill. If you look at the very bottom line of the financial group's pros and cons, just cost tables, they get $80 to $90 million for gravity, which is basically exactly the same as the engineering group's bottom line. And then similarly for STEP, costs are going to be out of our pocket immediately versus what costs are getting folded into the project.
I've done that. In fact, I have it here. And I will share this. Can we get someone to attend to their cell phone? I've done that study here, and I will share this. I just got done with this afternoon because it came out as I was going through it. But basically, it costs a homeowner there's out-of-pocket costs, upfront costs versus costs over the entire. And so, if just looking at upfront costs, connection costs, the gravity system definitely costs the homeowner in every level more than the STEP system. However, and this is not pro or con to either one, the reason for that is because many of the things that a gravity system has to pay for, like the laterals, the project will pay for on the STEP STEG. So it's really, unfortunately, not apples to apples. It's kind of like there's a subsidy to the property owners for STEP STEG. And I'd be glad to share this. I will share this document with everyone.
I've seen the numbers for many years. There's a caveat in that, though. It depends on the financing. The state revolving fund loan will not cover any of the costs on the property, private property. So the property owner will either have to pay cash or he will have to come up with a loan himself, unless the county will finance that part of it, because you can't use public funds to build private on private property.
I understand that. I think that's one of the reasons for the easement, but all I did is in
well,
this
no,
case.
No, the easement will have nothing to do with that.
Okay, well, in this case here, all I did is I just took the numbers directly from the document, not.
Yeah, and I understand out. That's what the document right. has, but it's not taking into account what the financing vehicle will be.
And I think that's partially due to the history, because basically the gravity collection system that we're looking at is essentially based on Tri-W, which utilized that method of financing, while the STEP system is based more on the Ripley and Orenco side, which was based on the other side of it saying that everything's included. And, yeah, I mean, then that's the reason why the two numbers don't quite mesh and why we're stuck here trying to get them to mesh. And one other point I just wanted to make on the on-lot costs, when the on-lot costs are borne by the property owner, there's a wide range in costs. Some people, depending on what your actual property site looks like, where the tank is located, the costs can, that's where the big differential in the cost. So two different properties, even right next to each other, could see substantially different costs with the gravity system.
Yeah. And in my survey, one of the questions I asked was, what are the on-site installations? One other thing, real quick, when we were originally looking at STEP system way back when, we were told that federal monies, any kind of federal monies, which that's what state revolving fund, including grants, unless it's grants specifically for a specific purpose, like a STEP system, cannot use that money to pay for private property improvements. Now, I don't know. Yeah. Rob probably knows.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I think it'd be good to get a clarification on that, since in a gravity system, you'd have these pump stations that could be on an easement on private property that the municipality purchases the easement. You know, they own the pump station, and SRF would cover it. I'd like to ask the state folks, what would the difference be for, not that this is the only kind of financing, but for an on-lot component that the county owns, public facilities, in an easement, why that would be different than a public lift station for financing. So we can get ask the county to help us.
Yeah, that's an important question because I really think that ultimately when people start looking at the systems, they're going to want to know what their upfront costs are or are estimated to be. I think we need to get an answer to that question.
And just one other quick thing. All of the municipalities, the developer or the owner of the property installed the system, and then the municipality took it over. And interestingly enough, South Alabama, just because it was brought up, they actually do pocket plants. They do 125 units per pocket plant. Costs $275,000 is what he said. The guy sent me pictures of it. But the problem is it takes between an acre and 2 acres because you have parking requirements. There's a lot of requirements you have to meet with that. So, but there's an example that we can take a look at and get more information about for pocket plants.
Very good. Go on, Garrett.
Yeah.
Also on the engineering pros and cons, Russ, you had mentioned in your presentation, but it doesn't appear on the pros and cons that it's a real pro that for STEP that it provides storage in event of an electrical failure. So would you please make sure your verbiage actually gets in the document? That would be helpful. And also on gravity, I had a couple questions of the engineering folks. I'm going to hop down on the pros for gravity to property impact. The pumping of septic tanks, if the tank is right on the front line, I can see where you might want to put that as a con with STEP, but you've got it as a pro under gravity.
I think you have I left you an updated version because we did catch
that.
Oh,
you changed. Oh, thank you very much. Okay. I wondered about that. I didn't know why I had two. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. And
if you're out of town, you shouldn't be discharging water from your house. And so how does the alarm fail?
Okay, go ahead, Brown.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I was running through that as they were talking to the leaky toilet would be the only way, although I think all these panels will have the SCADA connection and they'll get a remote telemetry alarm.
And basically, so even if that happened, you shouldn't, I mean, you're a leaky toilet, how long would it take to leak 500 gallons to fill that extra space?
Well, you don't have the full 500 gallons when you, there's a short range between where the high water alarm is and the regular alarm is.
Okay.
Which is good, because you want to know as soon as you possibly can. Yeah.
Go on, Maria.
I think our point was that we preferred some sort of monitoring system not be borne on the responsibility of the homeowner, and using that as an example. And we just feel like at this point it's not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that it hasn't been fully brought forth that the monitoring system is identified in this report.
Yeah, right. I guess that's a question. We weren't clear if the cost of a SCADA centralized monitoring network was included in this. It didn't seem like it was.
Yeah, it's not. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
It's not abundantly clear in the report. It is included that the cost of the SCADA panel, and it should be clarified in the final report that it's included.
And that reminds me of something Paavo had shared, I believe, at a group meeting, which is a pro that we should have gotten in here and we didn't. He said one of the real pluses that he sees with the STEP system is that monitoring, precisely because, particularly as it relates to toxins, something that could really hurt your treatment plant. With STEP, you have a way of monitoring the source of toxic dumping. Pardon me? Through the monitoring system, you can trace right where it's coming from. That's what Paavo had said at a meeting.
Sort of.
Rob, you want to come up?
I think for, Mr. Chairman, for chemical constituents that don't trigger a high water alarm, you won't know.
Right, that's what I thought, because otherwise you need different sensors in the tank. Yeah.
Another thing for engineering, under reliability of systems, you had mentioned fewer pumps and support systems for possibility of failure. Have you calculated in the difference between one pump failing versus one lift station failing?
We were just talking about the numbers, you know. Like in the existing gravity system, you'd have the possibility of 28 failures as opposed to 4,769 failures. And when you take the probability, it's going to be a less expensive but a greater chance.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying, mentioning both sides of it.
There's a point to be made here, and that is the lift station pumps and motors are part of a regular maintenance and inspection program by the staff. Hence, they can anticipate when pumps and motors are starting to get weak and wimpy, and they have one in stock. And so in the middle of the night, they'll come down there and change it out.
Yeah, and
please, no comments.
And a lift station, whereas you might have a little more time in step. So I'm curious on these, on the seven that you interviewed, if they've had a lot of spill history.
No. Two of them did. They were anomalies. One of them, what was it? It was in Charlotte, and someone drove over an area they weren't supposed to and broke the pipe in the STEP system. One of the issues they said, though, is that, you know, because there was a comment that not very much water is going to get out in a STEP system, but a whole lot of water is going to get out in a gravity system. And it actually is the opposite because it's under pressure. But he said they were able to clean it up. And like I said, it was an anomaly. They didn't have, it's not a big problem for them. They have some INI. It's mainly where the epoxy around the tanks, where the lid is attached to the tank, will fail or something happens there, and that's where most of their INI occurs. Also, I talked to Craig Fisher at Unibail Association, who they are the association of plastic pipe, basically. And he sent me some details of gravity pipe. And I questioned him about, told him what our soil conditions were and all that. And he said it is so minimal, the chance of INI. Because I told him we had some issues of between the two. And they do step piping also. I mean, he's a proponent of step systems also. But he said today, in today's technology, the gravity pipes are really not, INI isn't an issue with them. And as far as cleaning the pipes, he said they test pipes all over the nation, and they'll go in and either video them, or he said in some cases they actually dig them up 20 years later, pull the pipe out, send it to be tested, and these are gravity pipes, and there has been, they send it to a lab, and it comes back, there is no perceptible wear or measurable wear in those pipes. So, you know, like Russ said, both systems we're talking about long, long, long time, longer than most of us are going to be here.
Thank you. Does anyone know, I realize that the in the step system, the pumps don't run continuously, they come off, but how much noise is, since these are all going to be in front yards, as they pop on and off, how much noise would be coming out of, off those pumps? Anyone have any idea of that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure Bob does. Yeah.
Not much. Yeah, you want to come over to my house and you can listen to it. You know?
So you, it is very audible?
No. Oh. It's not bad. There's a slight hum, but like people have said, and now it's just my, you know, that there's... it doesn't come on very often.
Yeah, I realize that.
You know, at most, ours will come on twice a day. But I have my, I have a pretty short throw on my, because I have a 1,000-gallon tank, and I want to be sure I have plenty of leeway in case the pump goes out. So I have a real short throw on my alarm.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking, you know, if there's a pump every 50 feet on either side of the street coming on and off at various times, whether that would be noticeable.
No, on mine, I don't have dirt around my lid because I get in my in and out of mine all the time because I'm testing it. Not in the tank, but, I mean, in the area, and I pull the lid and stuff. So, anyway, so mine, you can hear more than you would normally because all there is air around it, and then I have a wood kind of deck-looking thing over the top of it because I need to have access regularly to it, not because it's not good or the pumps aren't good, but because I just test it for make sure it's still working as far as the removal of nitrates.
Kind of the same as you're familiar with, Rob?
Yeah, if it's a buried submersible pump, it's very quiet. You might, okay. If you're standing over it, you might.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions of engineering, environmental? Oh, okay, go ahead.
Rob, is there any, you talked about your experience with spills with gravity systems. It seems to me there should be some sort of reporting network at all. Is there anything like that? Because I know, you know, being in the water industry, we deal with pressurized systems. You know, that's what we have. And a main break is not unheard of. It's not a frequent situation, but it's not unheard of. Like here in Los Osos, I think it was over on 7th Street, CSD was putting in a storm drain and nicked their water main, filled the ditch, flooded the street, and flooded out a couple of houses. So it, you know, when you have a main break, there's a large volume of water that flows. And I was wondering if there's like a you know, a database that logs that, because I can also understand how gravity systems, you know, you have a pump failure, you know, dealing with pumps in the water system, pumps do fail, and, you know, we'll get skate alarms, and we'll see our tanks starting to drop, and we'll rush out there and change to, you know, fix the problem as quickly as we can. I see both those things of equal frequency. So I'm wondering what the frequency of release is for a step steg system versus a gravity system?
We can speak to gravity, certainly, just because we have a spill reporting system here locally where any spill of consequence gets reported and logged, and all that's lodged with the regional board. As far as the STEP side, I was depending on Bob's interviews with those other large-scale STEP systems, but we can get the gravity side spills. Primarily, most of the spills in a gravity system are due to lift station failure, mm-hmm. As opposed to somebody digging and hitting a force main. I think the large number of collection system spills are due to lift station failure.
Mm-hmm. And the significant issues associated with that are the acute hazards of bacteriologic contamination, the potential for groundwater contamination from the nitrogen content. I see those two hazards being present in both systems. Those are acute. When you're looking at environmental contamination, you have acute hazards and you have chronic hazards. Usually the organics are chronic hazards. But like nitrate, it's considered an acute hazard. Once we detect something over the MCL, we have to take immediate action. If we detect something over the MCL for an organic, there's a long response time because it's a chronic hazard. So when I hear about spills here, I immediately think of the bacteriologic contamination because that can cause human health issues immediately. Same with nitrates. So I don't see, is there any other hazard we should be associated with? Because volumetric would really compound. So I'd be interested to see if in the pressurized system, is it very rare? And then when we do have a problem, like a contractor trying to put in a lateral and accidentally nicks a pipe, is that a rare event but large volume and gravity is more frequent but more smaller? Those types of things to characterize the risks would be very useful here, I think.
Yeah, I think on the risk side in terms of water quality, depending on the receiving water, obviously you're going to think in terms of purveyor and purveyor contamination. On a surface water contamination, things like settleable solids become significant as well, in addition to bacteria and nitrates, and organics become a significant factor because of oxygen deprivation in the receiving water. So those two things would result in a difference between because gravity obviously it'll have the settleable solids associated with the with the water. But as far as volume, I think we need more information from folks who have operated large scale STEP systems to really assess how much main breakage per mile of pipe, that sort of thing, which we don't have today.
Yes.
I have a question for Rob. I had one of the contractors that puts in a lot of septic systems in town this morning asked me, did these costs for the step include dewatering for the installation of the tanks in the high groundwater areas? Because he's done them, said you're going to have to dewater all the tanks. When you put new tanks in, you're going to have to dewater in order to get them in the high groundwater areas. And that's the first time I've heard that mentioned. But
I know it's come up in discussions and that there's a pretty wide range on the cost and that these are averages. Yeah. I'd have to go back to Corolla and find out if they really consciously included that.
Yeah. Okay.
I know we asked that question for the county team of whether you have to dewater because we'd heard some anecdotal stories of folks who ended up filling their new tank with water to sink it into the hole that they were trying to put it in, which is another approach, and sort of less, well, you don't have to get a discharge permit necessarily if you're doing that. And the sort of draft response back we got from the county team was that you would have to dewater the hole so that you could set the tank properly and anchor it and what have you. I think we should follow up on that further because it could be a challenge to dewater that hole.
Yeah, well, and the initial issue isn't even the tank itself. The initial issue is when you're digging the hole and the water starts seeping in, that hole starts creeping, and if you're putting a septic tank 5 feet, 8 feet, whatever, from a house, an existing house. You know, and he said they never had problems with it before because they always put the tanks in before the house was built, so who cares? But now that the houses are in there, it could be an issue.
Any other questions of engineering or environment? I had on environment, I had just two questions in your presentation. You made the statement more grinder pumps required for step stag, and I'd like clarification on that one. And you said gravity truck traffic to the plant. I don't understand what you meant by those two.
You mean under the gravity discussion, truck traffic to the plant?
No, yeah, under gravity, you said
again,
it impact more truck traffic for gravity, and I didn't understand.
The traffic for sludge hauling would be the gravity
sludge
would be
at the plant though.
Said, right,
plant.
It would be central. What are you at?
The statement says truck traffic to plant.
The collection within the community.
For sludge.
Oh. For pumping, tank pumping.
So that should go under step stay. You have it under gravity. Okay.
Well, I mean, there's still going to be. I mean, there still has been an issue of the sludge hauling from the treatment facility as well. It would be isolated from the treatment.
From okay,
right.
Okay. I was just clarification. And you mentioned no more grinder pumps under. Step stag. I didn't understand that one.
I think, you know what, we're not recalling exactly where that was generated from. Maybe we were saying more pumps at each site.
I think we're talking about the pumps.
Oh, okay.
And
so versus the 150.
For sure, but we don't have the grinder pump numbers for the step. We don't actually have an actual grinder pump number for the step collection system.
It would be the same as there was be for gravity, I would imagine. Is that true, Rob?
Depends on the tank placement. It looked like there would be possible grinder pumps if there was, depending on the placement of the tank.
The county is conceptualized this as having front yard septic tanks, even if you couldn't achieve gravity from the backyard. So I was just about to look up on page 3-5 those percentages, but I haven't done that yet.
It's a small number.
Well, we can modify it. It just,
I was just curious where that came from. Other questions for environment?
I've got it.
Go ahead, Bob.
You brought up visible pump stations, and I was unclear as to what those were. Are you talking the backup power, the buildings that were going to be for backup power? Because as far as I know, the pump stations weren't. They were in the ground, but we had backup power buildings.
It just came up.
We were talking about the 20-some lift stations throughout the community. There was a visible component to those throughout the community.
Okay. There were 8 pump stations and 21, 7 pump stations and 21 pocket pumps. Pocket pumps are just small ones that will do a very limited number of houses. The pump stations are the big boys, but they're underground, but we had to have backup power for them, which were in separate buildings. But I think we only had 4 or 5 backup power buildings.
Okay. Duly noted.
Yeah, I think that, and even the ones that didn't have backup power, you know, that the control panel for those big boys is, you know,
yeah.
Six foot tall, 6 foot wide.
Go on, Karen.
Also on environmental, first of all, I wanted to say thank you very much for providing a lot more detail than last week. So I appreciate that very much. Good work. I'm a little concerned. Something seemed duplicating, and I'm not quite sure why that is. And then other times I see something like, for instance, under Substag, you've got the last thing under community impact is venting at high points, increased odor control, and then you've also got that under neighborhood odor and noise. But yet under gravity, we've also been told that odor is and noise are also issues at the pump stations, but there's no mention of that. So fair is fair. Let's make sure we cover those bases, if you would. That'd be great.
Thank you. It's also really important. We have Mark Hutchinson, who's working really well with us. And again, I need to remind people that we have submitted a long list of questions. Some of these will come forward. We appreciate your comments. But we are aware that there's some gaps. But the odor control definitely is an issue that we have in and a question we have in regards specifically there.
Any other questions of any group or to any other group on the pro-cons?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just following up on that answer on the step system, it looks like about between 200 and 250 grinder pumps based on the county's survey. So approximately the same number. It's a small difference.
Right.
Rob, do you know, will people have the same opportunity as in the old project to try to get easements maybe from their downhill neighbor to avoid having grinder pumps?
Maybe. Combined tanks, maybe.
Okay. I've already got easement on my property for two neighbors.
Well, good. They can connect to your tank.
Okay. Then we're going to have one more public comment session on our. But I would like to ask the TAC. We have a two-week hiatus now. Like it's a lot of time, right? In addition to the 4th of July, before our next meeting. And it would be very much appreciated if you use that time not only to prepare for the solid, the solids waste disposal discussion, but to go back now and look at all your previous pro-cons, edit them, make changes or whatever you think is necessary, and then we'll bring that all up to date. So hopefully we'll have a kind of a brand new document published on the web just prior to our meeting, which will include all of these changes from the meetings we've had to date. So we'll go all the way back to site selection. With that, I still have a book. We have quite a few, so I'm going to change to a 2-minute. So we can get out of here at somewhat reasonable hour.
Bill?
Yes. Okay, when I come to it, I'll do that. But thank you very much. That's appreciated. So we're going to start with Richard Marketson, 2-minute. And that's followed by Gwen Taylor.
Richard Margotson, I won't use my 2 minutes. I just have one question. In the diagram showing the different configurations for the front placement of the tank on a step system, there's a division on each of these stating what will be the responsibility of the project and what will be the responsibility of the homeowner. This is figure 3.7. And on the one where the with the back abandonment of the tank in the backyard with a grinder pump, the grinder pump on this in this diagram is in the back of the property, but in the chart of costs, it's included in the project costs, and I'm curious why the grinder pump portion is included in the project costs, but the sewer lateral is in the homeowner cost. That's my only question.
That was a mistake in the document. The grinder pump is not included, and they shouldn't have put the cost in there. I picked that up also.
So the grinder pump should be in the homeowner responsibility section?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was explained differently to us because we had that same question in our meeting, and it was explained to us that basically they would kind of be given a grinder pump.
John, ask you to step in at this point then. And
I double checked with Corolla and with our
estimates. Can you use the mic?
I did confirm that with Corolla, and it should have been in the homeowner costs.
Time's up. Sorry, I didn't mean to beep you there.
But Bill, who's going to maintain it, though?
Homeowner.
Homeowner.
Yeah. Gwen Taylor, followed by Al Barrow.
A question. You had a replacement for the environmental section. You were minus a person that retired. Have you, or quit, or whatever you want to use it, have you had a replacement approval?
We have applications. The application period ends the 29th, and
yes,
we then we'll select from those applications. Or I won't. We won't select. The TAC won't select. The county will make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors on those.
Do you know how many have been submitted?
No, I don't.
Thank you.
Al Barrow, followed by Alon Perlman.
Okay. Final comment for the evening from me is this is a complete, solid report. This one has a big hole in it. And the hole is that you don't have any information from the private industry. You haven't contacted Pentair Pumps. You haven't contacted Orenco, Zabel Zone, and other companies. And the values that you have don't match the values for the private industry. I don't really care what you said, Bob. You've lied to us so many times. You've given us the impression that we were going to have a great, affordable project.
Please no attacks on people.
That's fine. The point is, and here's the point, Bill, and you should really get this. If you don't have the values of what it takes to build a step collection system, you can't fairly evaluate it. So your pro-con analysis means zip. And I think you need to ask Paavo to get you that information. That information is available. Mr. Westerman, you haven't looked at the industry information, but when you do, your values are way off the charts. If Orenco says they can come in with their money and build a system for $50 million for collection, treatment, and disposal, how could you possibly have a $60 million low-end cost for just the collection system? There's something that doesn't match there. You guys need to address that if you want any credibility in this community. Thank you.
Alon, Alon Perlman, followed by Chuck Cicina.
Thank you for your time. Part of it seems that the process, it has been improving. And I think one of the ways I can tell is that I review your documents and to see to what extent public comment has infiltrated, what's changed, whether you guys are really truly responsive. I'm going to sidestep here. And on the 15th, you released the document Pro-Con Analysis on Project Alternative, and that was dated the 15th. One short comment I'd like to make is that the collection system alternatives, the step steg, which you're producing today, also shows June 15th. Is that in error, or was that produced ahead of time?
That was my fault. I sent out a document, and I didn't change the date. No, it was a blank document.
And allow me to show respect, because it's very hard to deal with all these documents and not change the date. So this is just, this will just act as a reminder that being that we're trying to see how this process is evolving.
The dates are all proper. If you go on the website, all the dates show accurately when it was updated. And there's a cover sheet which shows addendums to it. So all the information is there on the website.
So there's a tracking of changes.
Yes, there is.
And that's something I was interested in. And I saw that 15th and I guess I wasted a public minute, but I think the process is good, but it took a while for the county and yourselves. I think the SEP, you have to find that right balance. You still haven't quite found it with what the county is doing and what the TAC is doing. For example, the meeting on the 18th was identified in one location as being a TAC meeting. It was clearly not directly a TAC meeting. Also, the communication didn't clearly state
your time is up.
The questions would not be available at that time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Michael Jones, followed by Lindy Owen.
Michael Jones. This is less than 2 minutes, but it's general in nature. The biggest problem I have with this entire process, the TAC process, the county process, and the AB 2701 process, is its open-endedness, the open-endedness of it. For the average property owner, it's kind of like playing a slot machine. You want us to put our money in, stand here, and pray to God we hit the jackpot, regardless of what project anybody wants. What makes the average homeowner nauseous, what may very well cost the county its 218 vote, is that the county of San Luis Obispo is asking the property owners of Los Osos to give them money for a mystery project. There are regional plans, decentralized plans floating around that the TAC isn't even considering that, according to Pavo, are still viable. We have absolutely no idea what it is we're voting for. Pio Lombardo, an expert in decentralized systems, spoke at a town meeting last night. His company installed several systems on the East Coast and one in the coastal community of Malibu that was approved by the Regional Water Board in L.A. County. Pio stated in most states on the East Coast, specifically Maryland, open-ended assessment votes are against the law. In the state of Maryland, if they want your money, it has to be for a specific project. Isn't this the way it should be? I know there are slot machines in Atlantic City, but when it comes to public works projects, they don't ask you to bet your home on mystery projects. The county does not reconsider its approach to the 218 vote. I do fear it will fail. This is the people of Los Osos we're talking about, who have already been lied to and deceived about a wastewater project. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lindy Owen, followed by Chris Alvey.
Hi again, Lindy. I had a couple questions there, but I'll go ahead and just shoot from the hip. One was, maybe I think I see a big fatal flaw. And when you talk about the collection for the gravity, and what you're basing this all on is the ruins of the Tri-W. So you're pulling the entire collection to the center of town, which might have made sense if you were processing it there. Then you're going to lift it up and pump it all the way out of town. And then maybe if we need water back in, what you've done is created a completely ineffective and energy-wasting system. What the county did have, and it was an approved sewer back in 97, I believe, was a sewer that took all the, if you want to talk gravity collection, it took all the gravity collection pipe out to the middle school, which is much closer to what the sites that we're looking at as the most viable sites. So I see that as a huge fatal flaw, and it's just totally wasteful. I mean, it's illogical. Part of what I find is so illogical. And again, I wanted to come back and address the digging trenches. 42 miles of streets will pretty much have to be replaced because we have substandard streets now. And Rosemary Gaglione from Public Works said that she was not going to be replacing the streets at a higher level. So when you tear out the middle of a line of a street in the sand, we're going to have big dip holes, and these pipes are expected to go up to 25 feet underground, which is just hard to even fathom. But the archaeological ruins, the Chumash have said that they would like to see directional boring done. They do not want their grave sites unearthed and unburied. And I know that Cal Poly would be let down if they don't get a chance to get into those places, but those are a couple.
Thank you very much. I believe in the fine screening report for the gravity, it includes road restoration. Chris Alboy, followed by Frank Osilio.
Hey, Chris Alby, CDO number 1019. We CDOs get a big start on you guys because our cease and desist orders go into effect 90 days after being served. So we get to spend lots of money on something that will probably get ripped out anyway. And wait until you find out how much pumping and inspection fees have gone up since the CDO started. I spent around $1,000 getting my tank updated, risers put in and all that. Risers are kind of interesting. And I'd like to know if any part of that is usable in the step or the stake system, or does this all get ripped out or pounded into the ground? My problem with the collection with the Tri-W system. If you look up, those round lights up there that are down to this floor is about how deep the deepest trenches are going to be. And they're going to have men working at the bottom of those trenches. And for that reason alone, I don't see how that project, how that the Tri-W type project can go forth. There's that. Also, you're going to run into artifacts and Indian burial grounds and whatever, and you're going to run into a lot more of them with the gravity type system. That's all I have.
Thank you very much. And our last speaker is Frank Asilio.
Frank Asilio, Los Osos. I have a question for Rob, because you're talking about easements. In front of my home, there is 10 feet by 80 feet of easement, I believe. It's not my property. It belongs to the county. But I, of course, put plants there and maintain that. The county does not. And I believe that there's easements all over, utility easements all over the community. I don't know if it's the same in every part of town. So maybe, again, another map that would show the different easements of property and how wide they are that's already in existence that those type of systems, steps that could be placed in. The other issue is I keep reading in the newspaper or here on the local news stations regarding and even from the environmental about the number of homes that would be outside the town that would be affected. But when I look at the map, and I never hear this, that there's hundreds of people who live right across the street from the proposed Tri-W site. You can take a look at the map and see the density, and I don't hear that brought up and the effects. There's people who live on the other side of the park, homes all over that area, and the density over towards the east. So you have a high density south, which is across the street. You have a high density east. And then if you know, it, then there's the mobile home park down going north west. So there is a lot of people in a particular area, and I hope that, you know, part of the site selection really didn't address that issue of the amount of people that would be affected by a downtown site compared to an out-of-town. Though I heard one person said that, two people. One said that, you know, I couldn't see any homes when I walked the site. Another said, yes, you can see a house, and the winds do come from the east. Well, you know, there are many more people in this area than out there, and I, not that I don't have concern about those people, but still.
Time is up. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, you want to do brief comments now, or should we wrap it?
You can do a brief comment.
Can do really brief.
Okay.
Really brief. For Lindy, I agree the orientation of lift stations and force mains will and should be reviewed and changed if gravity goes forward, absolutely. The 1997 Metcalf and Eddy would be a good guide for that. There's a great document about the extent of street repair in a gravity system. I can make that available electronically if folks are interested. I do have a right-of-way map of all of the prohibition zone if folks are interested. And the county may not support the installation of step tanks in the right-of-way, but that'd be a question to ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other last-minute comments from any of the TAC? James.
My understanding is that right-of-ways in the front of the houses are street easements for widening of the street. Is that correct?
That's correct, but they're much wider than they need to be for any street.
But when we talk about putting sewer tanks in front yards, we're not talking about putting them into that easement. We're talking about putting them into the deeded property that people own.
At this point, that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Correct.
That's just what I wanted to know.
Anything else? Then with that, I'd like to thank our audience. I'd like to thank all the people at home watching us, and we will be back in 2 weeks. Have a good 4th of July. Meeting adjourned.